Welcome, everybody. This is number 33.
Whoa.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
Why is there so much delay again?
This is out of control.
All right, let's get it going.
Right, we're back. Episode number
33.
What do you think? 33 episodes.
33, that's a lot.
Why so many? No need.
Need to slow down.
Yeah, we'll cut back a little bit. Once a month.
Yeah, we should.
So.
Take a break. What are you ready for a break?
Nah, let's keep going. It's fun.
So this is going to be a banter episode. Banter.
Yes, this will be a time filler, a space filler, nothing technical whatsoever involved with this one.
It's a dumb topic, but I think it's a good topic. We're going to talk about Old Man 3D.
Old Man 3D. What is that?
We're going to talk about age and how it affects the flying. We're going to talk about...
I can feel it.
Yeah, okay. Well, we need a guest, but we didn't have one this week.
Oh, well.
We need an old guest.
Who?
I don't know. Somebody. We'll bring some old guest down the road. But this is about, like, you know, how, and this is not necessarily for old people. This is about things that affect your flying.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, of course, being, you know, a little bit older age. Doesn't need to be, you know, when I say old, doesn't mean 70 or 80 or 90 years of age. I'm just saying, like, you know, what happens after you hit your 40s, how things change. And how you can keep up with your flying. You know, how you can still be a good pilot and not let those little things that happen after a certain age affect you. That's
right.
All.
Right. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Be good.
But in the meantime.
I'll try and weigh in the best I can.
But. In the meantime, what do you got?
What have I been up to? Olivia went home. So my girlfriend Olivia was here for the past 2 weeks. It was great. She was here for Valentine's Day. And we had a good time hanging out and spending time together. But she went back home. Can you believe that there was two incidents at the airport? One incident when she was coming in, and one incident as she was leaving?
No.
Terrible luck, yeah. So when she was leaving Connecticut, like, they wouldn't let her flight leave because a TSA agent jumped from a balcony in the Orlando airport and tried to kill himself. So they delayed her flight.
That was when she came in.
When she was coming in, yeah. And then when she was leaving, I dropped her off, said goodbye, and as I left, apparently there was a security breach or an attempt security breach, or apparently a guy tried to pull out a gun and run through security or something. I don't know. It was crazy, man. Orlando Airport is just out of control.
What is going on?
I wish I knew, man.
Not good.
It's Florida.
Do you miss her?
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah.
Are you happy to be home alone again, though?
Well, I can just play my guitar all night and don't feel bad, but no, it was awesome having her here. Ready for her to come back for sure.
Nice. But, nice.
Yeah. What about you?
Me. What I do? We went to the field. I went to the flying field. Mm-hmm. So did you, but you had a bail early.
A little bit.
You had a bail because you had to take her to the airport, and it was,
yeah.
It took you forever.
Thank God stuck at the airport, yeah.
But I did fly. I flew Saturday.
No, you didn't. No.
Yeah, yeah. I flew my 770.
What?
And I flew my Drake. Yeah. Saturday. Yeah.
What about the Nitro?
No, the Nitro, I flew it. Let me think. When did I fly the Nitro? I did fly the Nitro.
Did you?
Yeah, I think I flew it Friday? Yeah, Friday. I flew it Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, Friday, you took the day off. You went to St. Augustine, and I flew that thing a lot in the backyard.
Did you?
Yeah.
All day long, huh?
About five flights. Okay. Well, thanks for the vote of trust here, but... Yeah, I flew it like five times.
Nice.
Yes,
nice.
Frank, cool. Moradillos. I flew my Nitro again. Yeah. Every week. Every week I fly my Nitro.
Well, that's good.
And then Saturday we went to Torches, and there was a club meeting, so we had quite a few people there. Yeah. And it was a good time. The cooks were in town, so they went to the field, and...
Gator was there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
we had a few club members. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
Free pizza on behalf of the club, so it was a good time. Yeah. So I did some flying, and then Sunday I went bike riding. I rode almost 300 miles round trip.
Really?
Eight motorcycles. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. We went to a place called Cedar Key. It's a little town in the middle of northwest Florida.
Yeah.
And it was a good time. We went out there. We had lunch. Nice restaurant up overlooking the ocean.
Nice.
And then rode back. That's Took cool. the entire day to get there and back.
No way.
I got severely sunburned. Yeah. It was good. Good times, though. Good times.
Nice.
Yep. So that's all I got for my my last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. And work.
No.
That's fun. It.
Yeah. Well, I have some clarification. The last episode, we talked about, or we had an interview with the IRCHA committee. Tim DePerry and Wes, ooh, I'm going to get his last name wrong. Wes Minar? Minor?
Minier.
Wes. Yeah. So my dad listened to the podcast and he sent me some notes. Apparently my dad was involved with the first IRCHA. The first IRCHA was in Waynesburg, Pennsylvania, just a little south of Pittsburgh. The club that hosted it was called PARR, P-A-R-R. And my grandpa, my dad, David Dard, Dave Davidson, and Paul Tredelius were part of that club to help put it on. And actually, that's where my dad met Tim Skinnard, who was the owner of Miniature Aircraft at the time, and he was flying the very first XL. And according to my dad, it did the nicest rolls.
Really?
Yeah. So that's back in the day.
Tim Skinnard.
Yeah.
Long time. Long time.
The good old days. But yeah. Waynesburg, Pennsylvania was the first IRCHA.
I'm sure your dad was talking about Tim Skinnard and not Ted.
He said Tim. Yeah.
Tim, really?
Yeah, he said Tim. Yep.
Because I know Ted was, Tim's brother was at the forefront of miniature aircraft back in those days, along with his dad, Walt. So,
let me see.
I don't know. Anyway, that's a good note. That's interesting. Waynesburg.
Waynesburg. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Cool.
The very first one. But anyway, what do you say we get into today's topic?
All Men 3D. Hashtag All Men 3D. So I dare everybody that is over the age of 40, and most of you will disagree that 40 is young, and I do agree, 40 is still young. But for helicopter, RC helicopter, we're talking RC helicopters here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the podcast, our podcasts mm-hmm. are all about, mm-hmm. RC helis.
Mm-hmm.
For RC helis, 40 is old. It is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Think with, about it.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
There's no scientific proof as to what the median age is for RC helicopter pilots.
Right.
But if I would jump in to say, I would guess mid to upper 20, mid to late 20s, yeah. if I could guess it.
Yeah.
And that's only because there are people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, and even 70s, no doubt.
Yeah.
But proportionally, there's a lot less people over 40 than people under 25, I would say, or under 30.
I think it all depends on what aspect of helicopters you're looking at as well. If you look at competitive flying, if you're over the age of 25, you're not competitive.
Correct.
Plain and simple. What if you look at like F3C or scale, you know, you can get closer to the 30s, 40s, and 50s and still be competitive because it's not as quick reaction based or anything like that.
Yeah.
So,
but also it's important to mention the fact that I personally feel that there's been a change in the age in recent times.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's been a change. And I hate to say it, but I just don't see new blood of young kids joining the hobby anymore.
Mm-mm.
But we used to see that a lot, right? Like when you were a kid, when you were very young, like you were like literally a child,
yeah.
there were a few father and son teams out there.
Mm-hmm.
There were more, right? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was you, it was Jamie Robertson and his dad. He came a little later, but still.
Yep.
It was Kyle Dole and his dad. They mm-hmm. also came a little later, but nonetheless.
Mm. Even Justin G. Several years later.
Justin G. Many years ago as well.
Yeah.
Years after you guys, but still.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could think of, there's a few more I can think of.
Right.
I don't see that happening much anymore. Do you?
I don't even know what made that change. I don't know if it's video games or if it's drones or if kids just aren't into flying anymore, but you do make a point, because when I was younger and getting into the hobby, even at my home field, there was at least two or three father and son, you know, teams.
Yeah, and that's definitely changed.
Yeah.
It's definitely changed. So I think the age is changing. We're all getting older.
Right.
Even the kids of back then are getting older today. So that's a significant change.
Right.
That's just pushing the age up overall.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're dealing with a little bit of an older audience nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
So it's pushing the whole age up a little bit.
Yeah.
And also the people that were already in the hobby when I started, you know, years and years ago that were in the hobby with me, they're getting older too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So I think the age thing is changing a little bit.
Hmm.
Yeah. You don't think?
I mean, when I go to events, it's, I feel like I'm still seeing the same crowd. I just think, like, as far as age goes, the general age, just the one thing that you already pointed out that we don't see anymore is kids. There's just no more young blood coming into it. It's just older people joining now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I mean, we still have Justin Cook. He's young. We still have Chris Damonte. He's young.
Yeah.
But they're also, you know, Travis Reyes, those guys. Yeah. But they're getting older, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, next thing we know, they're going to be in their 20s.
Yeah.
And then so we were kind of missing that very, very young generation to come and fill in their shoes, or your shoes,
yeah,
or Kyle Dahl's shoes, or you know what I mean, like
I can't think of anyone really right now. I mean, Shannon Turner's son, I think he's around 15 right now. Shannon Turner, Caleb Turner, I think, but still, I mean, if you go to like the 7, 8, 9 range, there's nobody, at all,
not at all. So things are changing there, that's for sure. So I think the whole helicopter crowd is getting a little older. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that, but like I keep saying, I think in terms of RC in general, like when you hit, especially helicopters and competitive 3D helicopters, more than anything, when you hit like a certain age, I would say mid-40s, things start to slow down. Things change a little bit.
Yeah.
That's the main thing here. And I, you know, when I say all men 3D and everybody makes fun of me, well, I think I'm one of the probably one of the last people standing at my age doing hard 3D with helicopters.
True.
Most of the people I know my age or older are just doing sport flying or like, you know, just basic flying. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Don't you agree?
Yeah. I mean, the only one who's probably similar to you in age is Matt Botos. And I don't know how old Matt Botos is.
But I think Matt's a couple years younger than me. I'm not totally sure. But yeah, he's close. He's close.
There's a handful of people who are around your age range who fly 3D, but not probably to the smack hardcore level that you do it at.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
I don't know. How does it relate to you? Like, when did you feel yourself start to slow down?
I would say in the last couple of years, 2-3 years. Hmm. I think when I hit 44, 45, things started to slowly change.
No way.
Yeah.
How so? Like, less confidence or slower reactions? Or
I think there's a confidence thing. I think the vision, eyesight changes a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know, man. It's hard to explain. It's like the reflexes I feel are still there. I still can throw it around.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of that sense of connection I used to have, where I was totally one in one with the helicopter, is not quite the same.
Really?
So like, if you've noticed, I fly a little higher, I'm a little bit farther away from the ground. I used to just do stuff like, you know, as low as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And now I probably could, but I think my probability of a crash is much higher than it used to be.
Right.
When I get that low.
Right.
You know?
Huh.
You know, I used to go up and do auto rotations way up there, not quite as high as Maxwell or, you know, Youngblood, but I used to go way up high and it was no big deal. Now it's a little bit more challenging to see the helicopter that high, so I don't take it that far.
Right.
Yeah. So a few things like that I think change. I think reflexes start to slow down, but I haven't experienced that yet. I think that'll come later. But certainly there's a lot of stuff that happens as you start to get a little bit older. And not necessarily very old, but I'd say, you know, mid to late 40s, probably.
Well, what tips would you pass on to kind of prevent the slowdown or the change in style that you've noticed?
You know, one thing that helped, well, the number one tip is keep flying. Like practice with the real deal. The simulator is too synthetic. And it makes you think that you got it when you don't. I don't think the simulator is good to keep up on your reflexes at all.
Really?
I think a simulator is a joke. Yeah.
Really?
I think simulator is awesome for developing muscle memory. So, you know what direction to push the stick for what orientation, and to make that a natural reaction without thinking, just the muscle memory aspect of it, to learn new things. But as far as like your reflexes, I don't think simulator helps at all. Right. I think there's other ways to help your reflexes, and we'll get to that. But I think the best recommendation I can give people that are, you know, anywhere in their late 40s and up, is just to continue to fly as much as they can. I think the minute you stop, it makes things even worse. I think that's also a contributing factor for the way I feel with my flying, is the fact that I don't fly generally as often as I used to for a lot of different reasons, right? So, you know, when I fly a lot, I start to gain more confidence, and I think that confidence helps overall. But I think that's the main thing, is just keep up, just fly, just practice. I think anybody can do anything as long as they, you know, it will take more practice to someone that's 55 years old versus somebody that's 25, no question.
Yeah, of course.
But I think they can still be really good at it.
Right. That was the next thing I was going to bring up, is back when you were in your quote-unquote prime, you were doing flying as a living, whether it was for SAB or for Align or for any other companies you work for. Like, that was kind of your thing, was flying and testing and promoting. But now that you own your own businesses, you don't really have as much time to dedicate to practice and, you know, working on it as much.
Yeah, and I mean, when you start working in the hobbyist, you know, it kind of changes your perspective a little bit. Like, you're not as motivated to go to the flying field. I wouldn't say you're not as motivated to fly, but you're not as motivated to be around the hobby, because you're around the hobby all the time.
Yeah.
So a huge part of the motivation when I was not working in the hobby was to be in the hobby. And being in the hobby means going to the flying field, hanging with your buddies there, talking about helicopters. Flying was a part of that as well, of course. But when you work in the hobby, you just eventually want to hit the reset button and just get away from the hobby. Even if it's for the evening or for the weekend or for one day, like a Sunday or whatever, right?
Yeah, of course.
And so that takes away from flying, because if you get away from the hobby, you get away from flying.
Right. I've even noticed that myself, is when I was flying hardcore back in 15 and 16 for SAB, I was still loving it because it wasn't like as hands-on business side. So I could fly every day of the week and like still get a kick out of it. But now, more of the business side, I'm like, yeah, flying is still cool and I still enjoy it, but I'm not like jumping out of bed to go do it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just changed over the years. But.
Exactly. So, everybody's making fun of this. Who's saying old man 30? But you know, there's a lot of older people that fly really, really well. And I think one of the reasons as to why they fly well, being their age, is because they practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's key. You got to practice.
Yeah.
And if you're new and you're, you know, in your late 40s or so or older, and you're new to helis, you're going to have to practice more.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the level where you want to be, as opposed to if you were like 22 or 25 or even 30,
mm-hmm.
it would take you a little bit less time and effort to get to that level, in my opinion. But you know, everybody's different, right? Some people age differently, and people, you know, feel different about their bodies and their minds. And some people have naturally good hand-eye coordination, and that's going to carry through a much older age than people that have terrible hand-eye coordination at a young age. Those people might not even be able to fly when they're 55, you know? So it's all very relative.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I see a lot of people, it doesn't matter the age, I think they still kind of get focused on learning the wrong things in the wrong order. Like, for example, I was just talking to Ron Corris, I think probably about 2 weeks ago, and he called me up because he was all excited that he mastered nose in inverted hovering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, dude, I've seen you do like hurricanes and TikToks. Like, the order in which you learn stuff was all out of whack, but he was still all excited that he can do a nose in inverted hover and feel comfortable now. So just because you're like older doesn't mean you still can't learn stuff and like progress either.
Yeah, of course.
So,
but I think one thing that hinders people's ability to learn things sometimes is that they skip ahead.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to say that all the time when I did that Learning 3D series on Smack Talk, was don't skip ahead, man. It hurts you.
Right.
It hurts you. It keeps you from actually progressing the proper way, because if you learn to fly like around inverted, but you don't know how to hover inverted, then you kind of skip that. And to get back to trying that takes a lot of self-discipline, right?
Yeah.
Because if you can fly around inverted, why would you ever want to learn to hover inverted, right?
Right. What's the point?
Like, so it takes a lot of discipline to stop and say, what am I doing? I'm skipping, you know, and there's certain maneuvers that require you to know how to hover inverted.
Mm-hmm.
So you're skipping through that foundation. So when you get to those maneuvers that require that, you're not going to be able to do it. And it takes a lot of self-discipline to get back to that point where you're like, okay, now I got to learn this.
Yeah.
I should have learned this like 3 years ago and I didn't. Yeah, so it's now time to do it. Right?
Yeah. I've seen so many people who can do a pirouette flip, but they can't hover nose left.
Yeah. It's crazy. You know, like Gator was doing TikTok Saturday, right? Yeah. And you know, he's doing them really fast and he's losing altitude. And I'm like, I broke it down for him. I said, he's like, why is this happening? I said, okay, can you hover inverted nose in perfectly? And he can, but he can't hold it in one spot. Very, like in 100% confidence, right?
Right.
He'll do it and he'll make corrections and he'll keep it there. But eventually, like, he'll get a little confused and he'll just bail out and mm-hmm. flip it right side up. Mm-hmm. So learn that nose in inverted hover, like the best you can towards second nature. And then I broke down a tail down TikTok disc in. I broke it down into you're basically going from upright tail in hovering mm-hmm. to inverted nose in hovering. Like mm-hmm. that's really what you're doing.
Right.
And if you get comfortable with those two orientations, you can just turn it into like a flip back, flip forward, flip back, flip forward. And eventually it just starts to become natural to start feeding the elevator and working the collective to where you start to speed it up and you lessen that angle and it becomes a TikTok.
Yeah.
So a lot of basic stuff that translates into the more advanced stuff, but people skip the basics. Mm-hmm. And I think that as you get older, your reflexes slow down, your eyesight, you know, it's not as good as it used to be or whatever.
Right.
And I don't think the eyesight is as bad as the depth perception. I think depth perception changes with age. But as all those things change gradually over the years, if you skip all those basics, then they're going to come back and bite you in the ass later.
Yeah.
You know?
Very bad.
So.
Very, very bad. So your setup has changed, though, hasn't it?
Yes, no.
Yes and no. Kind of, if you think about it. Well, I mean, I don't know.
I have higher head speed now because I'm trying to mask my lack of collective management.
Well, I was going to compare it to back to like when you were like in what you considered your prime, but back when you were in your quote unquote prime was like not even like electric really, right? When nope. you were back in your 30s and you were like fully comfortable and like you could do whatever you want to do with a helicopter.
Yeah.
It was not flybarless electric and all the horsepower you need.
Correct.
Right? It was nitro flybar.
Correct.
So like your setup has obviously changed substantially.
My setup, if anything, is more aggressive now than it was back in those days.
Right. Because yeah. I stood next to you this weekend flying that Drake. That thing is terrifying when you click it all the way up.
It is terrifying. But I feel like it. Okay. So here's what I noticed. My setup has not changed. If anything, my setup is even more aggressive now than it ever was. Mm-hmm. I started it, and it's mainly because it's, you know, back in my prime, quote unquote, I was flying flybar, right? Now I'm flying flybarless.
Right.
The flybarless naturally is faster. It has a faster flip rate and roll rate, you know, and the helicopter has more power because there's better motors, there's more efficient ESCs, better batteries and everything else. So my setup has changed because of that. But if I had a choice, if I wanted to fly very low to the ground like I used to, like more consistently low to the ground, and do more stuff on the deck, I would have to perhaps lower my head speed and slow down my rates, mm-hmm. so that it would feel more
predictable,
more controllable. Yeah, more. Yeah. So it would allow me. It would give me the ability to make more mistakes without you know, a mistake turning into an easy crash. Right. Mm-hmm. Right now, like a tiny little mistake is if I'm low, it's a crash. But it's
done.
Yeah. But slowing down head speed, slowing down your, you know, my cyclic rates and stuff like that would perhaps allow me to not be as good with you know my stick movements and still give me a little bit of a headroom. And not crash if I was trying to fly lower. But I don't think the setup really necessarily needs to change. I think, you know, I think I think once you get used to a setup, it doesn't matter whether you feel 100% or 50%, you're mm-hmm. still going to like that setup because that's what you're accustomed to, right?
Yeah, you just get used to it.
Yeah.
You're really in tune with it.
Yeah.
You get in tune with it. When was your prime, though? Because you're 47 now.
Mid to late 30s.
So what were you flying at that time?
Flybar stuff.
Flybar like T-Rex 700?
Yeah, yeah.
T-Rex 600?
T-Rex 600, T-Rex 700, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, back in the day.
Even up to the beginning of the Goblin, I think I was still like feeling like pretty good. Even up until like the first 3 years of Goblin, like I think things started to slow down a little bit as of like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Huh.
I still can throw down, though. I think I can.
Of course.
Just not as low to the ground and as, like, wild as I used to.
Probably as comfortably for yourself.
Correct.
Right.
What feels good. Could I try to do it and do it and get away with it? Probably yes.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't feel as natural and as normal to me anymore. So.
Right. And that's one of the things I've noticed is when you're not comfortable and you're still trying to push, that is like one of the worst feelings in the world.
Yes.
Because you're trying so hard, but no matter what you do, you cannot get into that thing.
Yeah. It's terrifying. You just don't feel like you're 100% in control. You feel like you're a little bit behind it all the time. And
just hanging onto it.
It's the most uncomfortable feeling there is.
It's the worst. Yeah. Especially in like a demo when you're out in front of a group of people trying to fly, and it's like, you just can't keep up.
It's really bad. Really bad. Yeah.
The good old days. It's changed a lot, hasn't it?
But there's a lot of things you can do. There's things you can do.
Okay, let's hear it.
You know one thing I do? You're going to laugh at me. you think I'm full of it.
Okay.
Play Guitar Hero.
I thought you were going to say Flying Nitro.
Play Guitar Hero.
Guitar Hero, really?
Guitar Hero. Old program on Xbox.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, yeah.
That helps your flying?
Yes.
Why?
It helps reflexes.
Really?
It helps your hand-eye coordination. Yeah.
No
way. It does, yeah. I think video games, depending on the video game, though.
Of course.
Like, video games, as long as they're video games that require quick reflexes, like, help your hand-eye coordination. Keep it in tune.
Makes sense.
That's why I don't think the simulator is good for helping your reflexes or your hand-eye coordination. I think the simulator is good for teaching you the moves, mm-hmm. like helping you develop the muscle memory.
Right.
But for reflexes, you need something that is more action-driven that requires fast inputs.
Like quick and changing and...
Yeah. I like Guitar Hero because I like music.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love Metallica, for example. And I don't play it very often. I play it like twice a year or something.
Right.
I wish I played it more often because it does, you know, when I start playing it, like, I would suck at it, but then by the end of the night I can play expert on any song and maybe not nail every note, but I can get through the song in expert mode.
Right.
And like at the end of the session, like, I'm tired, my hands hurt, but it's just it keeps you on focus. It just it helps that coordination that you need to be reactive.
But what about real music? Because you play keyboard. Does that have any effect?
Not really. Well, there's no reacting to anything.
Yeah, I guess.
There's no reacting. It's more like learning the stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
So it's like the singular.
You're not taking an input with your eyes and reacting with your hands or your fingers. Yeah. You're just thinking on what to do and doing it, right?
Yeah.
I think anything that gives you some kind of input, visual or... whether it is visual or whether it is by means of sound, audio input, and you have to process it and then respond to it, I think that helps your reflexes and that at least keeps them in check, I guess. So
Guitar Hero helps the reflexes. What else? Besides just flying in general, is there anything else you can do?
Not that I'm doing right now, but I think certain sports would be great. Like, I used to play tennis when I was, like, way many, many years ago. I think that would be good. I think anything that requires hand-eye coordination, you know, would help.
Makes sense, really.
And, you know, I'm not an exercise buff, even though I used to be way back in the day, but I think exercising in general would help keep your health, you know, and feeling good and everything else.
Yeah.
It helps you mentally relieve stress, so that helps as well. You know, there's the worst thing that you can do is go flying when you have something really bad going on, right?
Yeah.
Something pressing or something that's worrying you or, like, something really bad going on in your life. Like, if your mind is not clear, you're not going to fly as well. You're not going to perform as well.
Yeah, you can't focus. You know? And
yeah.
And then you risk actually something bad happening, too, if you get distracted.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's funny you mention all that because... Who was one of the greatest pilots that was always considered older? Curtis Youngblood.
Yeah.
He was always older than everyone he was competing against. Like, I want to say in his prime, he was probably in his mid-30s. He was competing against Alan Szabo, who was like 18 at the time. He was still kicking his butt.
Yeah.
So Curtis is like in his mid-30s, you know, still holding it down. His reflexes were amazing. He could fly an inch from the ground, an inch from his face, which he did a little too often. But... You know, his flying really only took a hit when he had, like, a full-time job, when he started his own businesses, and, you know, he couldn't dedicate all the time to practicing. But I mean, that's just a perfect example. He was winning F3C championships, 3D Masters, XFCs, all like 35, 40 years old. No problem.
We had the Nationals in the United States, and he won the Nationals for like 2 decades back-to-back or something ridiculous.
It's crazy.
But I have to make an observation about Curtis. Nothing against Curtis. I think he is still to this day the highlight of our hobby. He's the guy that brought in 3D to the hobby.
Yeah.
But Curtis took a hiatus for a few years, two, 3 years or something, mm-hmm. stopped competing mm-hmm. and focused on his business. And then he decided to make a comeback.
Yes.
And it didn't go very well.
Don't think it went as he planned it to.
No.
No.
I think that was around the time when Flabberless was becoming the predominant, means of flying. There were still people flying flybar, but flabberless was up and coming, and there were a lot of pilots flying flabberless. The maneuvers had changed a little bit. Mm-hmm. People had started to fly faster. Just overall, the flying style of most, big shot pilots changed. Mm-hmm. And Curtis couldn't keep up with that.
Mm-hmm.
By then, he was in his mid to late 40s, I think, 45, 46. Mm-hmm. And he just couldn't keep up with that.
Just couldn't do it.
His performance at, I think it was the 3D Masters or Heli Masters. 3D
Masters or Global 3D?
It wasn't Global. Global was relatively new. Heli Masters. Either Heli Masters or 3D Masters that year when he made the comeback wasn't good. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, it was great flying. Don't get me wrong. It was awesome flying.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the Curtis from back in the day that would have went out there and just like ate everybody alive.
Yeah, right? He would show up when he wanted to and go and just compete and pretend like nothing happened. I want to say he got like 10th or 11th that year. But when you're someone who's had a history of winning everything whenever you wanted to, it was just kind of like, okay, well, I guess that's kind of it. But
it was
still really
no
fun.
Question.
Yeah, he was a great guy though.
So I think for him, it could have been a combination of the fact that he was doing that for a living for a long time, and then at the same time he was trying to compete after having taken a break for that long. I think that took a hit on him,
and working within the hobby, like you mentioned, when you're working within the hobby, you're not as excited to go out and start practicing and getting your mind back in the competitive mode. So it could have just been the same thing, where it's just like, all right, I worked on these all day long, I think it's time for a break and change of direction.
Agreed.
How can we encourage some people, though, if they're a little bit older? Maybe they're, I've seen people show up to an event and they watch all the young kids just smack it around. They go, I'm never going to be able to do that. I think that's totally fine. There's nothing wrong with never being able to do that.
Yeah, who cares?
Whatever.
Flying, what happens is this, right? Like, way back in the day, helicopters was mostly, when helicopters became a thing, back in the 70s or whatever, it was late 70s. Early 80s, it was about who was able to even hover the damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody could really even hover them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when they got to the point where they could hover and fly around, and it became eventually a thing about who could be precise with it. And hence F3C came along, right? And it was all about, like, doing hovering maneuvers and doing some loops and some rolls and auto rotations. And that's what it was for the longest time.
Yeah.
Until I think Mike Moss and then later Curtis Youngblood himself started introducing this form of 3D, right?
Mm-hmm.
And doing like inverted hovering and the first TikToks and the first piroflips. I think Curtis might have been the first piroflip.
Yeah, he was.
And so this thing evolved to where it became a 3D discipline almost for 99% of everybody. I mean, every other discipline had died down, right?
Yeah.
I mean, F3C is nowhere near where it used to be. So when people think RC helicopters, they for some reason think 3D.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you encourage people? Like, don't worry about 3D. Who cares? Yeah. Don't do 3D.
You don't have to. And there's plenty of other things to get into and be passionate about. I mean, there's tons of people who love scale flying, not just for the precision of the flying, but the precision of the building. Because there's they put pilots in there in a cockpit and they paint the dashboard. Like, there's a lot that goes into just flying RC helis. It's beyond a pyro flip in a hurricane.
Yeah.
It really is.
Just doing sport flying, it's almost like makes me want to go to the next event and just do a couple of flights where I don't do any 3D, just sport flying.
Yeah.
Like,
kick it into a medium RPM and just go cruise.
Yeah. Do some big hurricanes, which is technically sport flying because it's inverted.
Yeah.
Inverted flight circuit or inverted backwards flight circuit with a couple of rolls and no need to do TikToks, no need to do piroflips. It's all about having fun.
Yeah. Just enjoy yourself. I mean, I was at an event once where I went out with my Goblin 770 and I flew it in low RPM at like 1400. And I was able to just do flips and rolls and just cruise around and just do low RPM. And people came up to me and said, that's the my favorite flight I've ever seen you do. And it was nothing exciting whatsoever.
Yeah.
But it was just so relaxed, and maybe they could relate to it a little better. I don't know what it was, but...
I think a lot of people can relate to that because you nailed it. Like, when somebody goes to the flying field and to some event and they see, like, I don't know, this kid, 14-year-old kid, like, throwing down and doing all these maneuvers low to the ground and, like, maneuvers that sometimes a newer pilot cannot even comprehend, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of discouraging. It's like, how do I ever get to that? And they don't have to.
Right.
You know, flying and doing sport flying is just as much fun. It's all about, like, progressing and seeing what you're capable of doing. And unfortunately, not everybody's going to ever get to be a Kyle Stacey, right?
Mm-hmm.
But whatever level that somebody can reach down the road is probably going to be more than enough to make them happy and hang with others and learn about the helis and enjoy every aspect of the hobby.
Right.
So,
like, at the end of the day, as long as you're having fun and you're able to enjoy yourself and, you know, just have a good time with it, I think that's all that matters. If you can't go out and do a pirouette flip and reverse it or do whatever, who cares? Whatever.
Just
enjoy yourself. It doesn't matter what you do.
No, not at all.
At all.
I agree.
At all. I mean, like, this is something that I've been thinking about for a while, but if you think about it, every way that we market our stuff these days is high RPM, high energy, smackdown.
We should change that, dude.
I agree. We fully should, because if you watch any promotional video from any top company lately, it's all their best pilot flying as low as they can, as fast as they can. And that's probably interesting to, like, the majority of the audience, but the flying really only relates to, like, 1% to 3% of the world.
Yeah.
Like, if you watch a video of Kyle Dahl, there's probably 10 other people in the world who can do that.
And the other thing is, like, if we're trying to get people into the hobby, people that are not in the hobby at all right now, okay? Mm-hmm. It could be somebody that went to, you know, some kind of big box store and bought a drone, or somebody like that sees a helicopter. You're never going to get those people interested if they watch a flight from Tarek El Saadi or something.
Right.
They're going to be like, what the? It makes no sense. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. I've done videos that have gone viral. I have a video that has, like, I think 2 million views or something stupid, where, like, you see the comments, and you can see the comments are from people that have no idea about the hobby. They're not hobby people, right?
Right, right.
And you can see, like, a lot of negative, not necessarily negative, but, like, what the hell is it doing? It makes no sense.
Sure.
This is stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, you know. But if people watch a helicopter actually fly scale, or maybe fly, like, fast and do some cool rolls or something, like, more like scale, aerobatic scale, like, more like what a big Red Bull helicopter, full-scale Red Bull helicopter would do.
Yeah.
I think they could relate more into what a helicopter is all about, right?
Yeah, because when they go out and they watch Tarek do fly at 2,700 RPM and he's doing up and down and TikTok, it's like, they don't know what it is. And I know what it is.
Yeah, it makes no sense to them.
But they have no idea what they're looking at.
So I think that the best way to market the hobby to an audience that is not in the hobby is to show them that a helicopter, sure, it can do all these crazy maneuvers, but it's also a helicopter.
Yeah.
It can hover. It can do forward flight. It can do basic rolls and loops, and it does auto rotations. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what a helicopter was meant to be when it was originally created or designed, right?
Right.
So,
and kind of going back to how we market it nowadays, I would say the average person who's watching, like, just put an example out there, like an SAP announcement, they're probably not worried about if I can break it. They're probably worried about parts cost, like, what kind of RPM can they get it, like, where can they get the parts, what size batteries they can put in it. Like, they're not worried about how hard I can beat it up, but how would the helicopter apply to them?
Yeah.
So that just kind of shows what your average modeler is looking for.
I agree.
What else?
Well, we keep beating a dead horse, but I think the important thing is to for people in general, like, not try to focus so much on the 3D aspect and to learn, like, a new 3D maneuver, but to start where they need to start. And, man, I've said this thing a million times, and, like, I feel like nobody really cares, but I honestly, truly believe you have to start by learning to fly and learning your basics. And, like, if you cannot do figure eights in both directions at various speeds and total control, don't try to do rolls and flips. Just what's the point, right? And if you can't do the same figure eight, invert it and invert it backwards and backwards upright and all directions and in total control, don't even try to learn a TikTok. It makes no sense.
Just wasting your time, yeah. Really. Yeah.
Learn to hover upside down. Nose in, tail in, sideways, both sides. Mm-hmm. Learn nose in, hovering, mm-hmm. upright. Yeah. A lot of people can't do that.
Right.
No, Gator was telling me he can't hover. He can hover, invert it, nose in, mm-hmm. but he's uncomfortable, upright, nose in.
Hmm. Okay.
So there you have it.
That's what he needs to do, yeah.
Yeah. That's what he needs to focus on.
Right.
Because trying anything outside of that is just not going to help. It's going to be much more difficult to learn any other maneuver, right?
Yeah.
Especially in perfect control.
Right.
So.
Right. Like, for example, if you can do a loop right to left, do it left to right. I mean, when I was learning, my dad really emphasized that, learn the basics. And I thank him for it now. Because if I ever get in a weird orientation, I always know how to save it because I always learned every orientation there is. Same with you. If you learn everything and you stop a pyro flip, no matter where you stop it, you can save it because you're comfortable with every orientation there is.
Yeah, I agree.
So
I agree.
Start with the basics, folks. You'll thank yourself later on. That's for sure.
Yeah,
that's no doubt. Sure. But I don't know. I'd say that now this is probably the best time to get into the hobby, don't you think? Because mechanically, the helis are simpler. There's a lot of online forums you can get advice from, Facebook groups. Ask a question, get an answer a minute later. Manuals are better. Equipment's better. I think now is the best time to get in the hobby.
Some people argue that the mechanical setup is simpler, but the electronic setup is much more complex.
True.
And if the person is not computer savvy or techno savvy, you know, or not technologically inclined, they might find themselves having more trouble learning, you know, the electronic setup, right?
Right.
But I agree with you that overall is much easier, because if you would have tried to get into helicopters 15 years ago, you would have had to learn nitro because that was the only option.
Yeah.
You would have had to learn everything about nitro, how to break in your engine, how to tune it so mm-hmm. you wouldn't blow it up. Mm-hmm. And you would have had to learn all the mechanical aspects of setting up that helicopter, like, you know, with a fly bar and making sure everything is at 90 degrees and centered and perfect. On top of learning how to fly.
Yeah.
And given the fact that, you know, and helicopters weren't what they are today. I mean, you know, reading the manual, it wasn't enough to put it together. I mean, you had to do some research or have some experience on how to, you know, sometimes bow links wouldn't even fit correctly. You had to resize them. And, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes you just were, you know, this part didn't fit with this part. And you had to do some at the house with a Dremel or, you know, it took work to get a helicopter ready. Now you just buy it, open the box, read the manual.
Yeah.
And unless you're completely dumb, you're going to have it built.
Yeah.
So really not that hard to do. Hell, I have more trouble building a puzzle than I have building a helicopter that I've never seen before, you know?
Right.
But the electronics is, like you said, there's a lot of places out there, a lot of
videos. Good
videos, Facebook groups, and HeliFreak is still out there, you know, as a forum, helifreak.com. So it's a lot of different places where you can find help, no question. So I do agree. It's way easier, way, way easier.
Absolutely.
So whether you're like 15 or you're 75, I don't think it matters.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're gonna have a little bit of a harder time learning to fly if you're 75, but I still think you can learn it.
Absolutely.
Still think you can learn it.
Absolutely. I mean,
I met somebody like not very long ago, and I cannot remember his name, so forgive me, buddy. But this guy was like 66 or 68 years old,
mm-hmm.
and he was just learning to fly.
Wow.
And he can hover the helicopter, so God bless him. I forgot his name.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just, it's going to be a little bit more difficult and take a little bit more time and effort, but it's all a matter of how much time and effort you're willing to put into it, right?
As with anything, if you want it bad enough, you'll make it happen.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
No doubt.
But
cool.
Is there anything else?
Yeah.
What's that?
Coat race.
Uh-oh.
Yes, it's coat race time. And guess what, Kyle?
What?
Last week, we had one coat left.
Yes, one of them did not get used.
Interesting, though, because we had orders, but people didn't use the coat.
I don't know why.
Because they don't listen to us. I keep telling you, nobody gives a shit about this podcast.
It's very Very upsetting.
Why? It's just a fact.
I don't know. It's what it is.
But those of you who are listening and care, we really thank you and we appreciate it. So we're going to give you the code again.
Yeah.
So we postponed the expiration date so you can use it.
Yeah.
Do it.
BKRC632WED. That is BKRC632 Whiskey Echo Delta.
Yes, and that is good for a $50 gift certificate when you spend $250 or more. So you have to spend $250. If you don't, the code will not work.
Correct.
Don't assume that somebody else used it. They might have not.
Yeah,
so give it a shot. It takes a second.
Yep.
You can use that during checkout at your cart, shopping cart. There's a spot. There's this enter coupon code.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, let's see.
Want me to do it?
Yeah, the other one. Go ahead.
It's if you spend $200, you get a $40 gift certificate. And the code for that is BKRC743TEX. What is the alphabet one?
Tango Echo X-Ray. So BKRC743 Tango Echo X-Ray.
Nice.
And then we have one for the Tortuga again. This is 25% off the Tortuga.
So it's a good deal.
Go ahead and get your Tortuga. If you go to bkhobbies.com, just click on the search button, type in SAKR84. That's the code for the Tortuga. We'll take you right to it. You can buy that one or the combo with the motor and get 25% off with coupon code BKRCTOR2. That's BKRC Tango Oscar Romeo 2.
That's a number 2.
Number 2.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Code race. Very exciting.
Yeah. I don't think anybody cares about this shit.
But yeah, people don't want good deals. It's fine. No worries.
All good. So if you have any ideas for something other than coat race, let us know.
Yeah, there's a segment you want to hear. If you want us to talk about a story, if you want story time segment, talk about our best crash or whatever you want to hear.
Yeah, we've gotten some comments on Podbean. We'll read them here in the next week or two, but a lot of positive stuff. Thank you to all that have taken the time to write a comment and given us a compliment. We really appreciate it. That means that those of you who listen care and you enjoy it, so we're happy for that. But we need suggestions for episode ideas, don't we?
We've been getting a lot lately on our Facebook, on the BK official Facebook. We get a lot of messages and tips there, so start putting those into some episodes and you'll be hearing those soon.
We should do a cool contest too. Let's do a contest.
Yeah,
so to any of you that are older than 45, you're an old person in the helicopter hobby. When you do a video, just hashtag oldman3D. Oldman3D.
Okay.
And then we'll announce what we're going to do with that. It'll be cool.
We got to figure it out, but start doing it.
I got to figure it out.
Yeah. Oh, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, I just thought of it. It's going to be cool. All
right.
But we can't say anything. We're going to let it run for a while.
Okay.
So just hashtag oldman3D.
Yeah.
And cool.
Yeah. And then at the end of the video, put a picture of your birth certificate, your social security card, your driver's license.
No, we'll believe you.
Yeah.
If you look too young, then we won't believe you. But if you look the part, then you'll be okay.
Yeah, I'll be fine. So
cool.
Nice.
Well, Kyle.
Huh. Where can they get a hold of me? Well, exciting news. I have a new email. So I've determined
that my email. Nobody uses email.
Well, if they want to get a hold of me, they're going to have to.
I've
determined that my.
Is that going to take like 8 days to answer, like your Facebook?
No, it's great. I answer it right away.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, kids, pay attention.
Within reason. Important. So my Facebook inbox has been destroyed. There's messages that I will notice 2 months after they've been sent. So I've given up.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I'll open it up and hit refresh, and there'll be one from 2 months ago. There'll be one from 2 days ago. Like, I've just given up.
Yeah, okay.
So no, I have an autoresponder telling you guys to contact me here. It's kylestacyrc@gmail.com. If you send them there, it's a lot easier for me. I'll answer a lot quicker. I would recommend that all podcast inquiries go to the BK official Facebook page so that both Bert and I can check it out. But anything specific to me, kylestacyrc@gmail.com.
Nice. And I'm available at facebook.com/BertRC or Instagram, Bert_Kammer. Collectively, you can send us a PM via Facebook to Facebook, the BK official. Or Instagram, the BK official.
Yep.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you very much, guys.
Yep. We'll see ya.
See ya.